queen, whose eyes are as charming as the doe's eyes. O queen, whose face defeats millions of moons. O queen, dressed in garments as dark as monsoon clouds. O queen, who is the crowning garland of mallika flowers on the decorated braided hair of the young gopis. O queen, whose beauty is served by many splendid transcendental jewels and other ornaments. O teacher of the intelligent and expert gopis. O queen, elaborately decorated with a host of transcendental virtues. O queen, accompanied by your eight very dear friends. O queen, who arouses Lord Keshava with the waves of your restless sidelong glances. O queen, whose nectar bimba roots, fruit lips, have become the food of the Prince of Braja. O queen of Vrindavan, bowing down and rolling about on the Yamuna's shore, this person, Srila Rupa Goswami, with an agitated heart and a choked voice, appeals to you. Even though he has committed offenses, even though he is unqualified, and even though his intelligence is crooked, please give this person a small particle of your devotional service. Because the fresh butter of your heart is always melting in the splendor of your transcendental mercy, it is not proper for you to neglect this anguished person.
So now as we proceed on from here, we can pay first of all our obeisances here to the cave of Raghava Pandit, and then if we like, we can circumambulate behind this Kidamba tree, and I don't know if you can get around the Tamal tree, but you can place your head very affectionately upon the trunk of the tree, and then you can place your forehead very fortunately at the feet of the tree. And I was told that if you pray to these trees themselves are extraordinarily great personalities who are here in Vrindavan doing their own meditation bhajan on the pastimes of Krishna. So if we pray to them that, please, I've come here and you're a great personality and I'm worse than a tree. I don't know anything. I don't feel anything. So please give me some mercy. Then if we place our head at the feet of these trees will certainly give us some blessing, some consolation in the heart for the emptiness that we sometimes feel when we approach these transcendental places. So we should all take advantage, and you can pay your obeisances to the two trees. This one also, or hug them. Tree hugging is very good. It fills that hole in the heart. You should hug a tree every day, especially in Braj. So take advantage while you're here, and then we'll walk on and we'll go to Surabhikund, which is another very nice and consoling place for those of us who are feeling we're here in these wonderful places, but I'm not able to feel anything. We can go to Surabhikund and take shelter of Surabhi Devi. Thank you. So, by our great good fortune, we find ourselves here at Surabhikund. And Surabhikund is a place of forgiveness. So just like we're going here and there in Braj and hearing so many wonderful pastimes that we may, if we're a little bit thoughtful, we may feel that we have no access whatsoever to such wonderful transcendental activities because we find ourselves so completely fallen and apathetic. And even, as we were saying, this tendency within the heart to actually hate Krishna is there. Krishna himself is stating this when he's speaking with Arjuna, that there's a very deep-rooted problem within our hearts. So we're going here and there, and hearing of these wonderful pastimes. But what about ourselves? What's our condition? So we can think, when we come to this place, that we've come here with an opportunity to seek forgiveness. Each individual, perhaps we can take some time either after we speak to either write or pray, to gather together your own hearts, feelings and thoughts on what, if somebody said to you, you can come to this place and whatever mistakes you've made, you can offer them and say, I'm very, very sorry, please forgive me, and forgiveness will be received. Last time we came here, it was cold, and it was later in the day, as I remember. And we all sat here a little shivering on the steps. But it was still greatly moving to come to Surabhi Kund, to place the water on our heads, and to seek somehow or other that our hearts can become cleared of something. So much that we need to be cleared from. So now I want to share with you again a little bit about Surabhi and her relationship with Indra. So after Krishna had attracted Ananda Vrindavan Champu, sometime later Krishna being attracted by the opulence of Giriraj, and to gain relief from the fatigue of holding him up for 1 week, he strolled along a ridge of Govardhan Hill. Krishna walked there alone in order to bestow some mercy upon the heavenly king Indra. The cowherd boys suffered greatly in the absence of their beloved friend. Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, however, had covered the one with 1,000 eyes in layers of intense embarrassment. He was feeling so ashamed. He didn't know where to go. There was nowhere for him to go to get relief from what he was feeling, the distress that he was feeling. As a result, Indra abandoned his bad qualities of anger and pride and came to Vrindavan from his heavenly abode, accompanied by a Kamadhenu, a Surabhi cow, who carried the sweet smell of good fortune. Indra wanted to meet Krishna and beg pardon for his grave offense. In her humble way, the Surabhi cow accompanying Indra approached Krishna and spoke affectionately with the logic of the goddess of learning. Surabhi said, My dear Lord, you are the Tilak mark of good fortune on the head of the capital of Nanda Maharaj. Now please hear my words with attention. You are famous throughout the universe and worshipable by all living beings. You are incomprehensible, and you manifest incredible opulence in this world. Even if hundreds of angry Indras try to kill the cows and the gopas with fast-moving, ferocious clouds pouring torrents of rain, you will always protect Gokul and saturate its residents with complete bliss. Being pleased by your merciful behavior, Lord Brahma anxiously told me. He said, O Goddess Surabhi, go happily and bathe the Indra of Gokul, who is the beloved son of Nanda Maharaj. Under Krishna's compassionate protection, the Vajavasis, who are praised by the poets, rebelled against Indra, even though they were not at all envious of him. I am well known for my own misdeeds of previously stealing Krishna's boys and cows. But go, Surabhi, and I will follow you on my swan, along with the munis and rishis, the kinaris, the siddhas, and the demigods, in order to relish the spiritual bliss of this pastime. So Indra was welcoming the assistance of somebody who is close to Krishna. Just like if we offend somebody and we feel very bad that we've done something to upset somebody, especially if we try to kill them, to do something so heinous, And we need somebody who's close to that person, because they can intervene on our behalf and speak, because we feel so insincere. What can we say? We can just remember what we just tried to do. What can we say on our own behalf? We know even that the sin is still there. So this is how it is with us when we try to approach Krishna, and this is what the spiritual master's position is, that he is the go-between, the person who we ask, please, you can speak to Krishna on our behalf, because we feel so alien, practically speaking, in the spiritual land of Vrindavan. And he presents the same appeal to his spiritual master, who presents the same appeal to his spiritual master, and in this way, this appeal is given in a very subtle form, not in a clumsy way, but in a very subtle way. This appeal is then offered on our behalf to Krishna himself. So Lord Brahma is coming also, so he is the head of our sampradaya, so he is also there to watch this very sweet pastime. Then Surabhi continued, speaking to Krishna, she said, "Hey Krishna Chandra, just see this person who is standing right behind me. He is always overwhelmed with grief due to his anger and his offenses. Casting his eyes down in shame, he is repenting now for his rude and arrogant actions. Within his mind, he is always rebuking himself, and he really wants to be forgiven for his grave offenses to you, but he is afraid to step forward. If you will allow, he will come, and he will submit his petition." Indra is standing right behind Surabhi, and Indra wipes the tears from his thousand eyes and gets down from his mountain of false pride. As he lay on the ground, surrendered to the Lord, it appeared that the radiance from the expensive gems on his crown illuminated the lotus feet of Krishna. After lying for a long time on the ground, Indra stood up, folded his hands and bowed his head. With fear and devotion in his heart, he gazed at Krishna's jewel-like toenails, glowing like moonshine. Out of ignorance and false pride, he had previously acted foolishly, and now, humbled, Indra offered prayers to Krishna. So Indra offered his prayers, and he apologized in so many words for his offense. And as always, I find interesting to note that Indra did a terrible thing. He tried to kill everyone. He tried to destroy all of Braj, to kill all of the cows. So Surabhi is going in front, but she's not terribly enthused. She's not completely, she doesn't have her whole heart in asking Krishna, please accept Indra in this way. In fact, she says to Krishna, actually, we want you to be our Indra from now on. He just tried to kill us. So we want you to be our master. Please, you take this charge of our hearts and our lives. So Indra is standing there, having done this terrible thing, but he went with Surabhi. And somehow or another, Krishna listens to his prayers and goes out of his way to express that he is forgiven. But then we see in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto that Lord Brahma, we know he did a minor offense. He just tried to play a trick. He didn't try to harm anyone. He didn't try to kill anyone. He just was playing a little bit. But his offense was not so easily forgiven, because when he apologized to Krishna, Krishna remained grave and didn't say anything. So there is something to be thought of here. And perhaps if we were to mull over this subject, we would find so many interesting points of comparison between the two. But just for our speaking today, because we're at Surabhi Kund, let us meditate on the significance of Surabhi and her intervention into Indra's predicament. And in this way, we should also pray that somehow or other our predicament may also be there may be some intervention so that we can also grow very spiritually strong and deep and mature as devotees in every way, so that we can also relish the pastimes of Krishna without any of this mountain of false pride that Indra was suffering from. And practically speaking, in Kali Yuga, they will say the pauper is proud of his penny. Anything can make us full of pride, the most insignificant and foolish thing. Indra was the king of heaven. We're the king of nothing. But we can be 10 times more proud than Indra for absolutely no good reason, except that it is one of our favorite bad qualities. All of us included. So then, after Indra and after this big Maha Abhishek that we heard of at Govindakund, Surabhi and Indra, they remained behind. Lord Brahma left, all the demigods left, all the personified trees, the personified mountains, the personified oceans, the personified mantras, they all left, and Indra and Surabhi remained behind. And Krishna wanted to see that Indra had now become purified. After the four-headed one, Lord Brahma, and all the demigods departed, Krishna addressed the fearless, intelligent Indra. So in a humorous, happy mood, Krishna said, this is his response to Indra, he said, "Is your anger now pacified? Please tell me truthfully. You are close to me, so you should not conceal the mood of your heart. I did not subdue your anger out of revenge or enmity, but I wanted to show how your actions were full of false pride. By nature, I cannot bear to see my own devotees possessing false pride. It is well known that such persons deserve to be punished by me. O Indra, I favored you by stopping the sacrifice. O subduer of your enemies, it does not suit you to maintain envy towards me. Likewise, it does not suit us to maintain hatred in the core of our hearts towards Krishna. We have to beg that this apathy, this, as Srila Prabhupada described it, causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna. And we all, I'm sure, come in contact with this at various times. There's no cause, but we're unwilling, we're apathetic. We want to do things in our own independent way. So Krishna said, I have favored you, O subduer of your enemies, because it does not suit you to maintain envy towards me. Now you should return to Swaga and enjoy your position. But do not become carried away by your wealth and lose your intelligence again. Indra, listen patiently to Krishna's compassionate words. And he accepted his kind chastisement. Now he could see that this chastisement was given kindly. Before he was so angry and so revengeful that he felt very threatened and challenged by the fact that Krishna, practically speaking, ignored him and simply lifted up the hill and played with his friends underneath the hill. He didn't have to do anything more to chastise Indra. He didn't have to yell at him or stare at him with heavy eyes. He just simply went on playing in this way, and Indra felt the full effect of his own offenses. So then Indra listened to Krishna's compassionate words, accepted his kind chastisement, and after respectfully circumambulating the Lord, he returned to Indrapuri. Then, now Surabhi is still there. So then Krishna, he anointed Surabhi with the fragrance of his pure affection. And then he gently bade her farewell. Dressed in a glimmering, new, golden, shimmering outfit, Krishna looked so beautiful as he then returned to Vrindavan. It seemed as if he had just returned after one moment's absence. So Krishna came to this area to forgive Indra, to arrange that Indra would be freed of his offense, to satisfy and pacify Surabhi Devi, who had come here on Indra's behalf, but really who had come simply to see Krishna out of her pure love. And he blessed her with his affection. And then, when everything had become perfectly serene, then he prepared himself to return to his cowherd boys and his Vrindavan pastimes. So here we can come and put our heads on the ground here on the stone, or place some water more on our heads, or beat our heads and say, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so proud, I'm so stupid, I'm such a fool. For whatever we ourselves can examine in our own lives that exists on this platform, and pray that somehow or another you may also forgive me in my heart, which is full of nothing good. And please allow me also, with your forgiveness, to go very, very, very deeply and very strongly on in our devotional life. So I'll stop here. And if there's nothing more to be said, I think we should take a couple of moments to offer some heartfelt prayers. And then we should return to the bus, and we should return quickly to our ashram and honor Sri Radha Govinda Gopinath Shama Sundar's Mahaprasad. Thank you. Hari Bol.
Srila Prabhupada has given us three prayers to chant to get to request forgiveness from the holy name. To get you started on your own prayer. Here's one. Nikila Shuli Moli Ratna Mala Dyuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Ai Mukta Kule Upasyamanam Paritastvam Harinama Sangshrayami. It's a glorification to the holy name. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. O Harinam. Please say, O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. I take complete shelter of you. The nails of your lotus feet are worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the necklace of jewels known as the Upanishads, which themselves are the crown jewels of all the Shrutis. You are also worshipped by the liberated sages. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. The second verse is not with me in exact English is Nivritta Tasher Upagiyamana Pavoshvatat Shotra Manobi Ramat Ka Utama Shloka Gunanuvanat Puman Virajita Vigna Pashuknat. It says, the glorification of Lord Krishna is passed down through the authorized line of disciplic succession. This glorification of Lord Krishna is relevant for those who are no longer interested in the glorification of this mundane world. Who could not be attracted to the holy name and the messages about Lord Krishna except for a killer of the soul and a butcher? And the third verse is only known to me in an English paraphrase. It is a verse which was spoken by Daksha to Lord Shiva, and it's very, very relevant to us. It says, oh, my dear Lord, because I do not know it, I cannot read it from the book, and I just know it by heart, I think no need for you to say it, because I only know it in the sense, in the contents. It goes like this, oh, my dear Lord, because of my ignorance, I did not know your glories, and therefore I committed an offense by ignoring you. But you are so wonderful that you are the standard of all wonderfulness. In other words, you cannot be compared to anything else. Therefore, please be satisfied with your own glories. Hare Krishna. These are three verses. But you might like to just reflectively think about how you can be forgiven by Lord Krishna. You might think who's your intermediary who begs on your behalf. And you might pray very nicely. Hare Krishna.